Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Life Design with Linda Sachs. Today, we're all in for a really huge, big virtual reality of a treat. My guest today is Patty Hahn. Patty is a film publicist who has worked on over 30 feature films, including Bride Wars, August Rush, and You, Me, and Dupre. She has recently completed her very first debut memoir called Good Girls Don't. It is her personal story where unwed mothers were stigmatized, where abortion was illegal, and where young girls were sent away to have their babies in secrecy. Patty's story is a tell-all story about what good girls didn't. Her book fits perfectly into the literary and entertainment reality trend of real people today telling their real, true life stories. Real quick, Patty was born in Tacoma Park, Maryland, to a Jewish mother of Orthodox background and to a father from an introverted Southern aristocratic Protestant background, which actually is so sweet in the book, which Patty refers to as WASP. So I'm sorry for anyone. It's not meant anything malintended on air, but there's an interesting dynamic in her story. She's the older sister of the legendary film actress Goldie Hawn. I did read the book from cover to cover, and I must say Patty is courageous and tenacious. And as she tells her life story, we learn a lot about Patty's strength, her faith, her sense of renewal, courage, and compassion, and her love and hope for new beginnings and a second chance. Today, Patty is with me in the queue. She's anxious to introduce her. She is generously offering to give away a few free copies of her memoir, Good Girls Don't, which is available on Amazon.com, but if you can have a free copy today, why not? And also, please do take a look at her website, Good Girls Don't Book. I think it is, Patty, if I've got that right. If I didn't, we'll go back and we'll mention it again. So without any further ado, I'd like to introduce Patty Hahn. Hi, Patty. Are you there?
Hi, Linda. I sure am. Thank you for the lovely introduction.
My pleasure. My pleasure. I thoroughly enjoyed reading your story. I read your book from cover to cover. And I really must say I had a few really good, well-needed cries, especially toward the end. Your story was honest, and it was heartwarming, and at the same time, it was heart-wrenching, too. So I do have a few questions.
By all means,
if you want to take any of the questions, please, and just run with them in an area that you feel you'd like to share with the listeners, that would be amazing.
Absolutely.
Okay, so your story is just incredible. It starts with you, obviously, as a little girl, as a child. So my first question pretty much is, in your childhood, years before and after your sister was born, because you were the older sister, living in your household with the parents' dynamics when you were really young, I was wondering, in looking back, how do you feel that that took part or play in what happened to you and what you went through in your teenage years?
Wow, that's an interesting question for me to think of, because I don't know what the relationship is between how I was raised and the fact that I was, you know, my story was that I got pregnant, obviously, and had to give a child up for adoption in an era when it was pre Roe versus Wade and whatever. So that could have happened, actually, I think, to anybody at that time.
Okay.
My background and my childhood, in retrospect, I didn't know it at the time. Who does? But it was kind of interesting.
That's what I was going for. Yeah.
I mean, my little Jewish mother from Pittsburgh, and my, as I call him, the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant father from the South, created a very interesting home. They were both very distinctive personalities, and the biggest thing that went down. I mean, there was a lot of things that went down, but there was a lot of laughing. They were both extremely funny. They both had very wry and different sense of humor. So that that was kind of, that always played as a part of my life. I seemed like no matter what drama was going on at any given point, both my sister and I learned to be able to kind of laugh at ourselves. So that said, these things that happen, however, were not about laughing. But there is something to humor that gets you through the day. I think that, you know, it was an era and a time that is like a historical perspective these days on what was. And I think a lot of a lot of young people are kind of don't even know how grim it was. It was very, you know, it was like sometimes I think I lived through some quote of a Dickens novel or something, you know, with women being, little girls being sent away and shamed and all of that.
I was thinking of, just to kind of take it back for a minute, was there's always obviously been so much of this happening forever and ever, and with each decade, as a circle and the cycle of life goes on, you know, values wise, it's either okay, it's not okay, your religion, so many things play into it. I think I was thinking about even me as a teenage girl, you know, looking for love in all the wrong places with all my high school boy crushes. I was kind of thinking about that. I, you know, women that are looking back today on their lives in retrospect, having daughters, children, grandchildren, wondering, you know, things happened, kind of why did they happen? So, if you know, if you don't really see an equation and you say that there was a lot of laughter in your house, that's a really interesting dynamic, because I think maybe for a lot of girls, there wasn't that, and that's, you know, what they went for. So let me ask
I think, my father was a musician, for example. He was that's what he did to earn a living. And so his world was a little bit different than a lot of the suburbanite friends that I had. And I'm sure he brought that sensibility into our home, you know. My mother was always I think I described her in the book as a very large person trapped in a small body, and she was that. She was full of personality.
Right.
And she was very strong. So as far as looking for love in all the wrong places, I don't know that it was terribly different. I mean, I did have a passionate crush on this kid that became the father of my child. And if things had played out, we probably would have gotten married, played out differently. I'm not sure. I don't know how to answer that. I still don't know how that would have played into the idea that I got pregnant.
Well, you know what? That's a good thing, because then, you know, whatever. If you want to touch on for just a few minutes getting pregnant as a teenage girl, what was the motivation with you? If we could go there, if we could get, you know, real personal, was it sexual? Was it attention? Was it wanting attention? What was running through your mind at the moment?
It was obviously just being a teenager and having raging hormones like every kid does. I mean, I think it was just. I don't know that there was a particular need for attention for me, but any more than any other teenager of almost any era, frankly. I think that's part of getting through the adolescent pump, you know, period of life.
I apologize. I think there was social worker and the coaching background in me, the health professional background in me, brought in the dynamic of when you got into the book and said, you know, that your mother had an issue when she was small. So I was going back in history, looking at...
Yeah.
I was connecting dots, which is kind of something I normally
do.
I think we have an anxious caller in the queue.
There is always the strain of family dynamics that occurs, and maybe we don't even know why or how that happens. But it does seem I did repeat a bit. Not that my mother had a child and gave it up for adoption. She did not do that. But there could have been something with the fact that, you know, my mom had gone through some issues in her own life.
I think I was seeing so much as you, like, kind of cutting the cord and stuff like that, but I don't even want to jump ahead. I have another question for you to kind of turn it, and I think there may also be someone very anxious sitting in the queue that wants to join in. So if it's all right with you, and we can say hello and let him in. I don't know, Jim, if you're still there. Hello. Yeah, Jim is still there. Patty,
yes, I am.
You're in for a really big treat.
What?
Jim, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you. Hi, Patty.
Hi. Jim.
What an interesting story. I wish I could have read the book before listening to the show, because it seems like in many ways you're kind of like the forebearer of what this generation of people from, you know, 50s through 40s and maybe even into the late and mid 30s are experiencing. It's just that you were at the beginning before a lot of things opened up, and so, you know, there was more shame and guilt and hiding from things. But
absolutely opposite. I mean, I think a lot of the feelings were the same, but you add that element of oh my God, I'm not a good girl, and they actually called it that. You know, you're being
a
good girl. And that really does a number on a kid. I mean, just that alone.
Well, yeah, it does. I went to school with somebody. I'm in my mid-50s, and I went to high school in a really little conservative town in Oregon. And there was a girl there who this was before divorce was really destigmatized.
Mm-hmm.
And she was one of the few kids in my class whose mother was divorced, and she carried so much shame.
Mm.
It was just, and she never really led onto it till years later.
Jim, if you'd like to hang in, I have like two or three, questions for Michelle that are great.
Sure,
and you,
please.
And if you'd like a book, don't go away.
I'm not.
Don't go away.
I would love.
Don't go away, because Patty's got a great story, and I'm sure that I know that you would totally enjoy this, and I know that you'll read it.
Oh, I am.
Cover to cover. I know you totally will. So please hang in, okay? And thank you so much for calling in. Don't go away. Patty.
I'm not.
Yeah.
There
you go.
You had there was something in your book that I found really interesting there. I'm just going to pick out a few things. You talked about one day meeting your mom for lunch in Malibu.
Mm-hmm.
A scene about how you met your mother, and something you had made a reference to that had there. I went back looking for it. I know I highlighted it, and I just couldn't find it. So I'm going to reiterate what it said, actually. And it was pretty much that. Looking back on your life, had there had been a lot more openness and communication and less secrecy,
mm-hmm.
maybe things would have been different. Now,
mm-hmm.
religiously, I share with you, because I come from an Eastern European Polish-Jewish background, so
mm-hmm.
I think that resonated with me.
Mm-hmm.
It's
interesting.
Find the times again, right?
Okay, Linda. You know, my mom, although, she was raised in a Jewish family, she was way, way liberal for her time. I did not feel that. I felt probably the opposite.
Mm.
We had a really liberal family for the time. It wasn't
mm-hmm.
really my parents
okay.
that were about the shame as much as it was the society issues.
Okay.
And my father was devastated. He was just devastated and found it very hard to deal with.
Right.
My mom was the force behind everything,
okay.
but she did not really, even for that time, she just wanted me safe, I will say that, more than anything.
Right.
The time that I shared, there were two, actually, lunches that I talked about where there was a lot that was going on between my mother and I. And we were volatile. We were both very passionate. We both have big personalities. We're not unlike each other. And there were times when we clashed terribly, but we loved deeply.
Nice. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, she
sounded
like a real devoted and dedicated mother. Boy, did she put herself on the line for you, not only you, but other young girls who were also out there in trouble.
She
which
did.
Was amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. It was tough for me to kind of go through the book and be able to pick and choose things. So I think if it's all right with you, I'm going to jump way ahead into you finally getting to the stage and the point of your life when you woke up and realized that you needed to make a connection with your son. I think I'd like to go right there if that's
okay
with you.
Absolutely.
Because I'm watching the time. Okay. Now, I know in the beginning of the book, the first page or two, there's a letter that you write in that is just so touching. And for those listeners that are listening there, the beauty of all this, really, and the uniqueness of Patty's story and Patty's book is that she's really asking her son, who I think, if I have this correct, you might have wanted or named him Sam and found out after that his name that he took on was David. And you had also had your own son, and there were now two Davids, a David and another David, which is just incredible.
I know it is.
There were no accidents when I read that. But the beauty of this letter to all you listeners is Patty's really trying to reacquaint with this son after 40 years, and she's telling him, or first she tells him what her favorite color is, because they really don't know each other, and the things that she loves as a way to connect with him. Can you talk just a little bit about, take us wherever you want to take it. There's something we can talk for hours.
Well, I had found out that where he was and who he was, but I had not met him. and I felt that he could be a bit fragile. And that said, I thought, well, I'll write a letter, not knowing who, you know, anything much about him.
Right.
The letter that I wrote that is the preface to the book,
mm-hmm.
a part of it was to say a little bit, just, I guess what you're referring to is,
yes.
is me.
And your favorite color being yellow.
Oysters. Yes, for me, my favorite color is yellow.
Right.
I'll eat almost anything except raw oysters.
Wow,
I've
yeah.
always owned a dog and wouldn't live in a house without a fireplace.
Brazilian jazz. It was just so touching. And then at some point later on in the book, right, he answers your questions. And I correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm doing a lot of reading lately.
Yeah.
That he answers your questions.
He did. He answered them in such a lovely, simple,
right.
direct and very, for me, profound way. He and it, within that interaction prior to our meeting, I felt an enormous connection to him.
Yeah.
And you know, he has struggled in his life. He was diagnosed with schizophrenia,
mm-hmm.
and has, you know,
at what age? Do you know?
Say it again.
At what age did was
yeah,
that?
Yeah, it was early on. It was probably, he was sent away at 13, but to go to a boarding school. And
right.
it's a little sketchy. I mean, my information comes purely from him.
Right.
And, it was going around. But, yeah, he was sent away at a very young age to go to boarding school. And then he first had his aunt's, I've never been sure about that diagnosis. I'm not
mm-hmm.
sure that it was particularly accurate.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't matter by the time
right.
I met him because
right.
he'd been on, you know, drugs.
Mm-hmm.
So there was side effects.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing great now, incidentally. I saw him just last weekend. He came
wow.
out.
And you know what? I actually finished the book last night. I'm back in school, and I have this book and all my school books and my study groups, and I'm saying I need to finish this. I'm glad I waited to just have the last chapter the night before we're speaking today, because the beauty, and I guess that's going into pretty much my next question or statement that I want to share, is when you literally talk about when you're on the train and then you realize after, there's two connections. One is you're on the train to go visit him and all the apprehension there, which leads then to the later on towards the end of the book when he finally makes it to Manhattan Beach, to California, to come visit you. And you have this aha, and you realize that all the expectations and from the love of your heart and the passion of wanting to make his life so perfect and have everything just be blissful for him, that you really don't have the power to do that, and that everything is just okay in the moment, just the way it is.
Exactly, and that was one of the major points of that too.
Right.
You know, we have all these pre-existing ideas of what we think and want and wish.
Right.
And you know, it just kind of happens the way it happens, and that I couldn't fix him, but
right.
I could love him. And I could be with him. And that's exactly where we really began the real relationship that we have.
That's what I think for myself. That's just me personally. And I'm
mm-hmm.
hoping that other people that will, once again, go to Amazon.com or Good Girls Don't Book and on the website and really pick up Patty's book and read it. You don't have to have had any of this, anything like this ever had happened to you in the course of your lifetime, no matter what age you are. I think in the last chapter, the blessings that you talk about are just so universal and so very clear, and that is really letting go, learning to be patient, how you say how David taught you about patience.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful.
Given
that
many
touched
lessons.
Me.
Yeah,
that touched
you.
Me so. We all, you know, just learning how to just be
uh-huh.
and what other people can teach us as mirrors into ourselves.
And really realizing and enjoying the perfection of all of that. And,
right.
That was pretty cool.
It was just
amazing. Well, you know, one of the things I wanted to mention to you that's
yes,
been a surprise to me is that that obviously women who have experienced this or men who have gone through a woman's experience of that and so forth. And, Jim, thank you for calling in. I must say that was pretty cool. I'm really glad.
He might still be there.
Here.
I
hope he is.
Chance to talk
yeah,
to
yeah, that was
yeah.
nice. That was a nice call.
Okay.
I really have to say that a lot of the kids, young women today are the new people that are getting on board with my book. Shockingly, I didn't expect that. I know that there are people of my, of that era that are into it, but to see the young people now that are like writing me and calling me about this book is really blowing my mind. I didn't expect that.
Me either.
They're very much
to,
relating in their their way.
Wow.
To that time.
In what way is that? Could you elaborate?
Yeah. Well, the point being that, you know, like I say, now they have actual reality shows about teenage, you know, celebrity moms that are teenage pregnancies and that kind of stuff. And so it's got such a skewed kind of an issue. And to go back and see, wow, you know, that not that long ago, look at where we've, you know,
we've evolved, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't know whether the evolution is a good one, frankly. I mean, I don't think that's a particularly where you'd want to go is doing a reality show and
that's
promoting
sure.
it. But I do believe that there is an interest among people that look at it, as I say, as a historical perspective now of what people, you know, what women went through.
And it's unbelievable. Because
being turned down as for a State Department security. I mean, that was an interesting part.
Wow. If you want to just touch on that, because I know we have a few minutes. I see here that there's 7 people in the chat room, but no one's once again, no one's coming out with a question. So we know that they're there and they're listening. So please, whoever you are, those 7 people that are sitting there in the chat room, please, if you want to read Patty's book once again, you have a chance right now in the next few minutes to be able to call in and get a free copy. And if not, and you really would love to read the book, then I'm sorry you're going to have to go out and buy it, but it's worth every penny. And the interesting thing, the beauty, Patty, is that when I read it, I guess because, you know, maybe we're closer in age, I related so much to it. When I personally, in my own life, thank God, have my daughters who are now 25 and 28. They keep me young, so they get me real and opening up just to conversation about things that we grew up with that had such judgment behind
them. Yeah, right.
They're just so raw and uncensored that the word that's always coming up with my daughters is, Mom, you have no filter. And I'm thinking, wow. They have no filter. They're totally unfiltered. But you know what? The beauty of that is that the openness, right, I find, is allowing a lot of them being young girls, to be able to kind of pass through a lot of the fantasy and travel more into the reality, which hopefully, like your book, is stopping a lot of them in their tracks thinking, uh-oh. You know, if you do this, this is what's going to happen, and the consequence, you know, is a lifetime consequence.
Well, I think it's not about moral judgment, certainly about doing whatever one does anymore. But I think that what I try to speak to, what the decisions based in your life on an early trauma, such as giving a child away, is deep. And you don't even realize it, and it comes up lots of ways. And it was only until I felt very safe that I could give it, that I could go out and find him and have a conclusion to that in my life.
You know,
or
the interesting thing, I read your whole book, but hearing you say that, I don't know why I didn't pick that up in the book.
Yeah.
Maybe it's something that I just didn't grasp that feeling, and it was probably, I'm sure, it was right there that obviously with that length of period, with that time in there, that obviously you were safe and ready.
Well, I had met a man that was a great guy, and I married
him.
Oh,
here you go.
And,
So there was a beautiful part in there that said that I remembered now, too. Another thing was when you mentioned that you allowing the love into your life and letting go and allowing this man to love you. It was your turnaround, would you say that? Okay. Mm-hmm. And that was just so beautiful and so lovely. But you didn't say in the book how you did meet him, did you?
Oh, how I met the man.
Yes.
I talked about several men in the book.
I know. I'm like, okay, I know. Maybe his name is Steve. I'm sorry.
Good for you.
I was having so much fun. If you gave me a test now because I'm back in the student mode, I'm good. I know there was Robert, and there was Robert, and there was Ralph,
and there is Steve.
And there was Michael, and there was
I know a lot of
okay
lot
with
lot
Steve.
Of
okay, I know my ex-husband's name was Steve, but obviously
there was the Himalayas. There was
very,
climbing.
There was
up
Nepal, but there was also Steve.
And then when I came back from the climbing through the Himalayas and getting altitude sickness and almost dying and having dreams and
you've done amazing stuff. I really have done that. I'm glad there. You see, the laugh is there, and you brought the laugh, which is so beautiful because you know what the just. All that I was going like, wow, you know what, this beautiful, well, redhead, whatever, every time you turned your head, there was another suitor on the side there who saw your beauty. And the way it came out in your book is they were all attracted to and coming to you. You didn't really have to look too far.
Well, I don't know about that. But
well, that,
I did have a series of you know, relationships that weren't too good, like a lot of women, my gosh.
Right.
You know, that's part
right.
of the deal, I think, often, if we're, you know, if we've lived a long time, but in this case, no. I mean, I do. I got married now 19 years ago, and I've been very happy, and and that's been, you know, a wonderful part of the story.
But I think the real beauty is that you have two other sons, right? So you
I
now
do.
Have three sons, four
that's right.
grandchildren.
That's right.
Right, and that this baby became a man and still had a living mother, I don't know about parents, but you brought him back and fulfilled not only for yourself selfishly, this was so selflessly, selflessly that you fulfilled for him too.
Well,
so
I hope
beautiful.
So. You know, people often ask me, why did you write this book? And the honest answer for that, you know, could have a lot of lofty answers, I suppose,
right.
for that. But my really honest truth was that when I met him, we were both way grown. And I thought, what could I give this guy? What could I give him?
Right.
You know, I wanted to give him something. And, and I thought, well, I could give him the story of how he came into the world.
Beautiful.
And he was conceived out of love.
Beautiful.
And I really wanted him to know who I was and deeply. So, and out of that was always the motivation for writing the book. And the day that I was able to give him the book was a big deal for me.
That is so huge. I have one last question, and then we really need to wrap up. The one last question I have is, if you could go back and change anything, would there be anything you would change? And if so, what might that be?
Oh, my goodness. You know, I'm not big on that.
Okay, great.
I can't think of anything that
good.
I would really change. I mean, my life has worked out really,
wonderful.
Really well. And, I mean, there certainly wasn't a bed of wonderful things always. That's not life. But, no. In my case, I don't know anything much that I would change. I guess if I could change anything, I'd like to have my mom here for about 10 minutes. And I'd like to be able to sit down and tell her, you know,
me and you
how this saga
came.
Really has ended. And
beautiful. We can't end more blissfully than that, because that just was the icing on the cake. This beautiful mother who was always on your side, in your corner, always making sure that everything was going to be okay for you. My apologies for your loss.
It's been many years
still,
now. But
yeah, I'm sure
there's
she's
actually
still with
some pictures posted on the webpage.
Oh, really? Beautiful.
Yeah.
I love that.
And there's audio. There's an audio of the letter that I wrote.
All right.
To
so
to
let's
him.
Do this, because we have 2 minutes left. So I'm going to do a few things.
Mm-hmm.
First is I'm going to tell Jim, at least for the other 8, 7, 8 callers in the queue in the chat room. Oh well, Jim gets a free book. Jim, if you send your address to info@authenticumedia.com, then we will make sure that we get that forwarded to Patty. Also, Patty's website, which is Good Girls Don't. If
book.
That's right, Patty. Well, the book.
It's goodgirlsdon'tbook.com.
All right. There we go. Straight from the horse's mouth. We got that. And the book is available. It's called Good Girls Don't. It's an excellent, beautiful, heartwarming read. It's a quick read. And it's available on Amazon.com. Patty, I would like to thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Linda. It was great talking to you and your listeners as well.
Yeah, thank you so much for your time. And for all of you listeners that were there today, I'm sorry, is there something else you wanted to...
No, I just wanted to wish you a happy holiday. And
same to you. And I just want to be able to tell all those listeners out there, we couldn't anywhere near tap into what's in that book, the richness of what's there. So if you're looking for something to do, and go for it. We've got 40 seconds left. Patty, Thank you so much. I wish you happy holidays, safety, and a lot of happiness and all my love.
Oh, great, Linda.
Thank
Take care.
You too, and thank you for joining us. All right.
Thanks, honey. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So, everybody who's out there, I hope that you enjoyed Patty today. Patty gave birth, was sent away secretly when she was a teenager. Her mother sent her off for months until her baby was born, and no one talked about him ever after that. And then she went through some tumultuous relationships, and other babies and relationships were falling apart. So we've got about 10 seconds left. It's time for me to wrap up. And next week we have Catrice Jackson from Get Naked. So we will see you next Wednesday at 4. Have a great week, everyone. Bye for now.